Hello, everybody. I asked my students what it was I was supposed to speak about tonight, because the arrangements were made a long time ago, and they told me Hakaras HaTov. But I just found out that actually what was advertised is Simcha. So they're actually very similar kinds of topics. I was just thinking, though, that my Rebbe Rav Palm, Zatzal, used to say, what's the difference between happiness and simcha? And it was a question I'd often have. I worked for 25 years in a hospital, and every morning after Rosh Hashanah, when I'd come to work, they'd look at me and they'd say, oh, so David, are you hungover? You're hungover? Because they just imagine that what Rosh Hashanah is about is like New Year's. You go out and you get drunk. They don't understand that Rosh Hashanah has nothing to do with partying. And that's exactly what Rav Palm said. He said the major difference between simcha and happiness is how you feel the morning after. Right? We're told that after the Chanukah Sabayis, the Bnei Yisrael went home b'simcha uv'tuv lev, because it was the simcha of connection to meaning. And that's what the Chazon Ish says about the essence of happiness. He says, for he who knows the light of truth, there's no sadness in the world. But I was just listening to a wonderful shiur by Mordechai Schiffman on the connection between Hakaras HaTov and Hanukkah. And it's a good segue, because it's talking about the afterglow of Hanukkah and one of the lessons that we carry with us as we go into the first day after Hanukkah. And he pointed out the tremendous connection between Hakaras HaTov and Hanukkah, right? We say Al HaNisim, it's part of it's right after Modim. And he pointed out this beautiful Sfas Emes, which I hadn't heard before, that that speaks about, we're told, until when can you light the Neros Chanukah? So we're told, Mishatishke hachama at shetuchala haregel min hashuk. So it's from the time that the sun sets until there's no longer people in the marketplace. Sfas Emes says that Alpidrush, what this is really talking about in terms of the real essence of the lesson, is Mishetishka Hachama Ashetuchala Hergel Minashuk. Is that part of what Hanukkah is about is dealing and overcoming Hergel, overcoming habituation. And I wanted to spend a few minutes talking to you a little bit about that component, because it's an incredibly difficult kind of challenge. The human brain is set up in a way that we habituate to the most unbelievable things. It's almost anything. After a while, the most wonderful kinds of gifts, we become habituated to it. I was just thinking, I was in Frankfurt about a half a year ago, and I was asked to give a series of talks on the Holocaust to a group of survivors who had stayed in Europe and who were unfortunately a dwindling number, and a group of therapists who work with the survivors. And I was asked to speak about it from the standpoint of post-traumatic stress disorder, which is an area that I've done a lot of work with wearing a secular hat, but also to try to integrate that with Jewish thinking, which is something that I'm particularly interested in. And the most common statement I heard from both the survivors and the therapists was that they had no idea that it's possible to combine the two. It was the first time they had ever heard a talk that integrated secular thinking with Jewish thinking. We, because of Hergel, take it for granted. We take for granted what this institution is all about. We take for granted the gift of being able to bring the wisdom of Torah into our lives and into science and into psychology and into Chachmas HaGoyim. It's an amazing thing, though. It's an amazing gift the tears in the eyes of these people who were for the first time seeing the relevance of Torah to their daily lives and being able to appreciate it, they kept saying, you don't know what you have. They said, Hitler robbed us of this. And I think that that's one of the lessons that we have to take out from Hanukkah. You know, the research in psychology shows that we tend to be least grateful to those that we owe the most to. It's a very interesting phenomenon in life. If a stranger stops on the cross Bronx and helps us change our flat tire, we tend to be incredibly grateful to that stranger. But to our mothers, to our fathers, to our siblings, to our friends, the people who on a regular basis are doing things for us, and as the Chovas HaLevavos points out beautifully, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we're, as he says, we're surrounded by an overabundance of his favors, of what he does for us, HaMisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu, it's extremely hard because of the way our brains are wired to pay attention to it on a regular kind of basis. So let me make two recommendations from the standpoint of just common sense kinds of recommendations. Number one, which is something that's not going to sound that phenomenal, but there's a lot of research on it, is they find, forget tefillah. Obviously, if you're serious about the Hodah part of tefillah, it brings gratitude into your life. When you bring gratitude into your life, a number of things happen. Your happiness levels go up, your health levels, your health improves, your blood pressure goes down. When you truly overcome the habituation and focus on what you have instead of what you don't have, we're going to read in this week's Parsha about the punishment that Yaakov suffered for telling to Paro that my days were ma'at v'rohim heim, right? So for every word in those two psukim cost him a year of his life, those 33 words. And again, focusing on that we have to learn how to focus on what we have instead of focusing on what we don't have. It's a lifetime challenge. It's built into tefillah. But here's a recommendation and a story. And that should bring us to 10 o'clock. I don't want to mess with the 10 o'clock. I was warned. Don't mess with 10 o'clock. That's what everybody told me. So here's the recommendation. Recommendation is a simple recommendation. They say in the research in positive psychology, which is, by the way, a field dominated by Jews, including a number of firm Jews. So what they say in it is that the best way to bring gratitude into your life is to figure out a way to count your blessings on a regular basis. They find that if once a week you just consciously focus on what you have, in addition to tefillah, okay, so recommendation is it's Friday night, you go around the table at your meal and you talk about one thing from the week or a few things from the week that you're grateful for. It helps you focus on it. It helps you understand each other better. And it literally should lead to sustained improvement in our levels of happiness. It's hard to do. It's very hard to do. But let me, I have two stories, but do one story, and that'll probably be it. If I have a little more time, I'll do a second story. But it's just an example of what I learned from Shabbos last year on this lesson of learning how to focus on the positive and learning how to overcome Hergel, which again is the essence of, according to the Sfas Emes, the essence of the lesson of Hanukkah. There's a group of Samar Hasidim who were driving me crazy over a period of literally 5 years, trying to get me to come to them for a Shabbos, for a retreat Shabbos. It was a Shabbos for a special organization that they had that was for severely, severely disabled children. I mean, really severely disabled. It's an incredible ongoing stress in a person's life. And I was being asked to go and spend Shabbos with them to give them some chizuk. And I really didn't want to go. In the worst way, I didn't want to go. I travel a lot. I love being home. I didn't want to leave my family for another Shabbos. And frankly, I didn't think I'd feel so comfortable spending Shabbos with a group of Satmar Hasidim. I just thought that I'd feel out of place. I don't exactly look like them. I don't exactly have a similar way of life. And I resisted it, but they were persistent. Like clockwork, every 3 months for about 5 years, I got a very nice phone call from the head of this organization. Finally, after 5 years, he wore me down. I couldn't take it anymore, and I said, okay, I'll come. And my wife and I go there for Shabbos. Of course, it became the high point of probably the last 5 years for me. It was an unbelievably meaningful Shabbos. Sometimes when I've shared this story with people, I say that they, in fact, saw me as a little different. One of them referred to me as Chasidei Umos HaOlam. Okay? So that was, it's okay. Which is about right, you know, in terms of their seeing me as somebody who's so away from their way of life. But they were extremely appreciative. They were Makirei Tov. But the whole weekend was filled with unbelievable lessons in Hakaras HaTov. And I'll just share with you this one lesson. And I think it's a good way to go from Hanukkah into our regular work week. We had a tish Friday night. And after the tish is over, it's about 1 o'clock in the morning, one of the Hasidim comes over to me and he says, can I speak with you? I'd like to talk to you about something. And he and his wife go with me into the corner of a lobby of the hotel that the retreat was in. We sit down, he tells me the following story. He said, 8 years earlier, he had a daughter. He was told by the doctors that his daughter was going to have an unbelievably severe kind of a disability. He said she'd never talk. She'd never walk, she'd never understand, and perhaps worse of all, they said she'll never sit up. She'll spend her life laying down. People with this condition can never even sit up. Then he hears when she's about 6 months old that they had developed a physical therapy in Europe that at a certain percentage of time teaches some kids with this condition how to sit up. So he flies to Europe, and he brings his daughter with him, and they start working on her, and they see it looks like she might be a responder. She's beginning to respond, but it's years of physical therapy till she'd be able to sit up. And month goes into month, and he has to go back to New York to earn his parnassa, to be with the rest of his family. So he begs them, please teach me how to do this. Teach me this physical therapy. They say, look, You don't even seem to have a high school education, let alone a college education. How can I teach you physical therapy? But he persisted. As I learned, he's very good at persisting. And finally, he wore them down. And they taught him the essence of the treatment. And he flies back to New York. And he tells me he spends the next number of years, every spare second, he and his wife spend trying to teach their daughter how to sit up. Then he turns to me, he says, do you mind if I introduce you to my daughter? And I said, it'd be my pleasure, of course. And he calls to a counselor who's at the other end of the hotel, the end of the lobby. And he calls her over, and the counselor pushes this 8-year-old girl who's in a wheelchair, clearly severely impaired, but she's sitting up. And she flashes us a million-dollar smile as we look at her, all three of us, with tears of simcha in our eyes. Simcha, not happiness. And what I took from that is ever since that happened, it was about 2 years ago, I think. Ever since that happened, every morning, when I say the bracha of Zokev Kefufim, I say it with a whole different level of kavana. Whole different level of kavana. How could you have that kind of an experience and say Zokev Kefufim without having a real Hakaras HaTov for the simple act of me being able to stand up here, or for you to watch you sitting up and looking at me with intelligence and looking at me with attention? It's an amazing gift. And something as basic as that, I think that what that key to simcha is about overcoming the hergel, okay? Ashetachala hergel min hashuk, overcoming that, and being able to pay attention to the nisecha shebechol yom imano. And as we go from Chanukah into looking at just the regular nisim of our daily existence, and to pay attention to that. Because to the extent that we learn to focus on that, it's going to make us into much richer and deeper and happier people. Thank you.